We are going a long way back today in histrionics. In fact, we're going back about 500 years, and a particular piece of visual art that is stunning and famous and hugely influential. But when I say that, I'm almost certain that right now you are picturing a painting, and it is not that. It is definitely not a painting. In fact, it's an engraving. That's right. Probably the most famous engraving in the world, I would wager, but my guest can shoot me down about that. It's an engraving that's called Melancholia I, and it helped to change the way that people thought about a lot of things, including melancholy itself. Dr. Andrea Bubinek is a lecturer in art history at the University of Queensland. She's a specialist in Renaissance art. This is being exhibited at the moment, and she's all across it. Andrea, how are you feeling?
Oh, I feel great. The exhibition's opening up very soon, and we're absolutely delighted to have Dürer's Melancholia I coming to Brisbane for this exhibition, and along with a host of other artists who all in their own way represent melancholia and pick up the theme that Dürer was so instrumental in putting forward 500 years ago, exactly. So it's exciting.
Good to know that you're excited and that you're enjoying it, because the theme of the exhibition could really have gotten to you.
Well, we need to laugh, right?
Yeah, I suppose you do.
In the face of melancholy.
Well, what's absolutely interesting, though, is that so there's an accompanying essay with the exhibition that's really interesting. And one of the things that's interesting about it is that the way the concept of melancholy has changed over
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Yes. I think with Dürer, we have an incredibly positive portrayal of melancholy. And he's really seeking to, in fact, align himself with melancholic thinkers who, at that time, were mostly perceived to be intellectuals and the intellectuals of the time. And here we have Dürer, the artist, sort of aligning himself in that privileged field. And I think melancholy is still with us, though, in a way that the exhibition sort of really highlights, because it becomes a kind of thematic or an affect that lingers, as you know, the title of the exhibition itself says, 5 centuries of melancholia. So it's still very much with us. And I think needs to be contrasted with something like depression, because I think melancholy is different. And it does have a special place in the creative enterprises of various individuals.
But was it always seen as being different from what we would regard depression as being? Because it was something that was considered a really serious affliction for a very long time, probably until Dürer came along, really.
Absolutely. It was really considered to be an ailment, an illness, an affliction, absolutely. And I think that one of the things Dürer's image does is put almost a positive spin on melancholy. And, you know, it sounds funny to say positive melancholy, but I think there are things we can celebrate about melancholy, things that do, you know, come out of this feeling, this, you know, it can overtake you, I think. And I think that Dürer did see the positive aspects of it. And I think that over 5 centuries, we still do see that artists embrace it in a way. And I think that that's a good thing. So,
well, in fact, I'm just looking at a reproduction of the engraving, obviously, now. And so the idea of the angel sitting down with elbow rested on knee and then hand rested against face in that kind of thinking, classic thinking position. But the beaming sun off in the background, it's almost like it's triumphant in some kind of way, which seems counterintuitive to me.
Well, the background which you've identified, it's actually so strange. It's actually a rainbow juxtaposed with a comet.
It's a comet? You know,
yes, it's a comet. So it's actually supposed to be the twilight of melancholy that we see portrayed there. And that strange atmospheric juxtaposition is another tantalizing aspect of Dürer's engraving that isn't fully resolved. And in fact, there are many aspects of Dürer's engraving that aren't fully resolved. You know, scholars puzzle over it. There are countless journal articles dedicated to various interpretations of it. In fact, it's the work that Dürer scholars sometimes like to avoid because it is so complex. But you're right. The angel in the foreground is such a chief factor of the engraving, in that we see that classic pose of the melancholic, you know, head heavy on hand, the kind of face that is overcome with gloom. And that's a kind of motif in depicting melancholia that gets picked up on by countless artists subsequent to Dürer.
So this was the first time it was done that way?
It's the first time that we see an artist so keen on portraying artistic melancholy and aligning artists with the melancholic temperament. So there were depictions previously, but prior to Dürer, it was really seen as you pointed out earlier, as an affliction, as something negative to be overcome, as opposed to sort of embraced and delved into for its positive aspects.
It's something that inspires a kind of self-reflection that makes you then create better things.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said self-reflection, because that is what this image is all about. Self-reflection, that kind of moment in between when, you know, a creative activity suspended and, you know, we call it writer's block now, or, you know, and I think visual artists would say the same, that there are moments in their creative process when they just come up against a wall and they can't go on. And I think that, you know, Dürer is really visualizing that beautifully here.
And if you want to know what the image looks like, we're going to have a picture of it on our website and you can try to decode it for yourself. There's all sorts of symbols and things going on. I imagine it's a lifetime of work just to be able to do that. But you draw the distinction between melancholy and depression. But the link between whatever it is, whether it is melancholy or depression, and creativity and creative output is a very strong one in our culture. In fact, just yesterday, of course, with the death of Robin Williams, we've been talking a lot. And that's been a major theme in some of the conversations, how someone so full of life and so funny has this other side to them. Mm-hmm. It seems like this has kind of been perpetual in some ways.
I think so. I mean, I think if we consider current culture's fascination with things like vampires and creatures who have quite melancholic temperament, I think that, you know, there's lots of room to see that kind of condition or feeling or mood in plenty of aspects of culture apart from the visual. So we can think of films and music, or the music of someone like Nick Cave, or all kinds of various icons of culture who sort of embrace the melancholic temperament and see the positivity in it. I think that one of the things I wanted to convey in the exhibition is that melancholy is different from depression. I think we can't possibly say it's the same thing. And so understanding that melancholy isn't something you necessarily need to medicate or
cure.
It can be embraced for its positive qualities. And, you know, I don't mean to diminish in any way the seriousness of depression. But this is, I think, something it's different.
And the engraving itself is very medieval, isn't it? I mean, the way it looks and some of the symbols in the background that I referred to, I don't know really what they are.
There are symbols in here that are definitely linked to melancholia. And Dürer does this balancing act of, he's sort of on the cusp of the new, because he's taking those medieval symbols, incorporating them, but he's also got this new vision of what melancholy is and how he wants to portray it as an artistic affliction, if you will, or something that artistic temperaments need to deal with. Mm. But he's also sort of hearkening back to that old tradition in which it's very much imbued with astrology and the occult and linked up with medical treatises that, you know, needed the various symbols that we see here in the engraving. So it's complicated, and I urge your listeners to come to the exhibition where we tease it out in full detail, as full detail as we can.
And Saturn plays a big role in it as well, which
absolutely
is part of that mythology. I do want to ask you, though, about the eyes. Can I ask
you
finally?
Sure.
Because they stand right out.
They stand out. They are impossible to move away from. I mean, I think they are certainly a central feature of the engraving. And that notion of the gloomy disposition, I think, is really delivered wholeheartedly here in the face of our angel, whose eyes we can. And it's almost a spin on Renaissance portraiture, where you had eyes gazing out directly at the viewer. Here they are not quite on us.
They're not interested in you at all, really.
Yeah, very unsettling, because the angel is wrapped up in this sort of process of self-reflection. From which it seems impossible that she'll break. So I think you're right to highlight that as a chief feature of the engraving that shows this notion of self-reflection for all it is.
Well, it is an extraordinary engraving, and it clearly has an extraordinary legacy given the amount of artwork that has come in the intervening period, the intervening 500 years. And the exhibition includes all sorts of artists, Australian and international, world famous and historic, and right through to the contemporary age. So it's a fascinating exhibition. It's a fascinating conversation. Andrea, thank you so much for having it with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Dr. Andrea Bubinek, a lecturer in art history at the University of Queensland. But more importantly, importantly for our present purposes, the curator of Five Centuries of Melancholia. It's an exhibition that starts later this month. It will be at the University of Queensland Art Museum. You can go along and check it out. The image, though, that we've been discussing will be on our website and the details of the exhibition as well, so you can check it out. Andrew Bubinick, our correspondent for Histrionics this week. Drawing Room is up next.